Stay tuned to 101.5 because each month we'll bring you interesting and informative podcasts with architect Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative. Are you going in circles trying to work out whether to renovate or sell? Do you need more information about current costs to help you make the right decisions? Over the coming weeks, Stephanie is going to help us find the answers to our questions. She'll be sharing episodes from a Renovation Collaborative Season 1 podcast, Renovate or Sell. She'll be interviewing 5 trusted industry insiders to find out the latest information about the cost of house construction from a building cost estimator and a quantity surveyor, about the cost of houses from a real estate agent, about home loans from a mortgage broker, and about the right amount to borrow from a financial advisor. Stephanie, can you tell us what we are going to hear about today?
Absolutely. So in today's episode, we get advice from a financial advisor about inflation, interest rates, and what everyone's spending on home loans at the moment. Plus, we'll find out how to work out the right amount to borrow for our individual situation and how much is too much. So I speak to highly respected financial advisor Tim Ward from Ward & Co Wealth in Brisbane.
Good morning, Tim, and welcome to the Renovation Collaborative podcast.
Thanks, Stephanie.
In the last 3 to 4 years since COVID, there have been a really difficult time, I think, for anyone who has been planning a large home renovation or a new home and taking out a large amount of finance. The cost of construction has been growing at such a rapid rate, around sort of 40 to 50% over this period. And when people find out how much their plans will cost, many have just put their projects on hold, just unsure about how to move ahead and whether they should be taking out such a big home loan in potentially a changing market. And I think there have been three reasons really. The first one was about the variability of the construction market and how fast prices were rising. And we addressed that when we spoke to a cost estimator and a quantity surveyor. The second issue is about their personal situation, about concern about taking out such a big loan and how that works with their personal finances. And the third thing, which is an issue for them, is often the finance market and understanding about home loans and inflation and where we are in the cycle. Tim, can you just give us a really broad idea about some answers for that, about what's happening with home loans and inflation, et cetera?
Yeah, we've come off that big rise in interest rates in the last couple of years, and that was on the back of COVID. So we had the Reserve Bank of Australia have to get inflation under control, and their target is to get inflation between 2 and 3%, and that's their mandate. That's their sole mandate. So we had interest rates rise so quickly in that six-month period, and from a place where it was 2% variable interest rates, so for those clients, and now it's in the 6.5%. So we had a 4% uplift in interest rates. So
it's a big jump.
It's a huge jump.
And it's a big jump simultaneously as prices of everything were going up.
That's right. So where we are now is we're towards the end of that raising cycle, and we've had the last couple of RBA meetings where they've just done nothing and just kept it the same. Mm. We're definitely more towards the end of that raising cycle, but I wouldn't rule out a rate rise because inflation has proven to be sticky, and we've seen that in the data that's come out in the last couple of months. So where we're seeing that now is that we're just saying to clients to factor in sort of scenario basing whereby it could go up further. So just making sure that you've got that comfort there within your own numbers.
You said that inflation was sticky. Where are you seeing that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, we're seeing that in the services industry. So people are passing on that cost of their own expenditures within their businesses, everything from their rent, their cost of delivering those goods, whatever it might be. And so that in order to pass that on to the customer, the end customer, so that they maintain their own profitability. Otherwise, if they're absorbing that, they're making less. So
Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Yes, and that has been my experience as well, just seeing those costs rising just across the board.
Mm.
So when I'm talking to clients who are considering a large renovation, often the amount of money they're thinking is not going to be an overcapitalization depending on where they're living, et cetera, the house, the quality of their house that they're renovating. It's all fine from a capitalization point of view, but their big question is is that right for their personal financial situation and needs? The price of property takes a large toll on household income. What percentages of investment are you seeing in mortgages over the last few years as these prices have increased?
So the mortgage balances of our clients, we've definitely seen they've had to increase to keep up with those increasing costs of build, but also just new entrants to the market. They're getting bigger mortgages than ever before, and we're seeing that across the board.
Can you give me any sort of indication about what you're seeing, just in terms of some rough numbers? I mean, this is very specific to your clients and what you're seeing across your books, but like moving, say, in the past 10 years, say, from now, like what sorts of spend do people have got on mortgages?
Yeah, so it's a pretty broad question, but we sort of saw the average Australian 10 years ago sort of having average mortgages of around 600 to 700,000 of that category across the major capital cities. But we're now starting to see seven-figure mortgages in most capital cities for any new entrant to the property market.
Wow. I find that as well, exactly that, when I'm talking to clients, you know, and I've given them some sort of a rough estimate, or they've got a rough estimate, and they're like, that's, you know, really high, it's really crazy. And I'm like, well, it's not just you. It's like all your neighbours are paying that. Everyone's paying that in the street to renovate. Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me. And the seven figures doesn't surprise me either. It's really very challenging at the moment.
And I'm seeing that with those clients that are wrestling with the idea of doing a renovation on their current home.
Yes.
Or the alternative is, let's sell up now, buy what we want.
Yes.
And then we just have that bigger mortgage, and we haven't had to go and rent somewhere as the place is getting renovated.
That's right. And at least, there's a bit more surety in what you're doing. Yeah.
And so that's a conversation that's sort of happened a lot more in the last 12 months than ever previously.
Yeah. That's what this whole series is about, everyone having that conversation.
And that conversation is really interesting, because clients in that predicament, they've got the four-bedroom, two-bathroom house.
Yes.
And they might be wanting to go to five-bedroom, or maybe have a bigger entertaining area out the back, something like that. And most of those clients are saying, oh, it'll cost $500,000. And I'm saying to them, go and do your costings and speak to someone like yourself who knows what the market actually is. I think you'll find it's $1 million.
And then some. Yeah, exactly. So that's right.
If we think back to just that COVID example of pre-COVID with interest rates, so on $1 million of debt at an interest rate at 2%, people were able to fund that with $20,000. Now at $1 million at 6.5%, that's now risen to $65,000. So that's a $45,000 interest increase after tax.
That's a really good example. Yeah, and it's really good to spell it out like that, because it really makes it quite clear. And you know, where is that money coming from? Because wages haven't increased aligned with this. It's just the market taking off, and everyone's just really trying to deal with that.
Yeah, and the translation of that $45,000 extra to find it, that's around the $60,000-$70,000 of gross earnings to just keep that interest, just to pay the interest. So we haven't even talked about the principal and interest loan repayment on that.
That extra 4% growth in home loans.
On the interest rate.
On the interest rate. That extra 4% on the interest rate is really, you know, when you spell it out like that, that really makes a difference to just the cost of living, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we've seen that play out over the last 20 years, the experience in Australia, a bit of context around that. So the median house price was 4.9 times the median gross disposable household income back in 2002, so just over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And as early as this year, that same figure is now 8.6 times median gross disposable household income for a median house price. So that's really demonstrating that affordability in Australia has definitely changed in the last 20 years.
So I know, talking to the mortgage broker, Richard Jeffries, in our one of our previous episodes, and he was saying, just, you know, you're getting finance approval on this really large amount of money. In some cases you can't, but if you can, he was saying, just get better advice on that, you know, make a better decision about that. The mortgage broker will let you take whatever you want. and you might feel you need to based on the cost of your house construction, but it's not the best approach, like, for the long term. You've got to tolerate that for 30 years. So that's where you come in, isn't it, as a financial advisor? And how can you guide people on that big, ultimately what it is a big investment over the long term?
Well, that's an all-encompassing wealth creation question. So what are we factoring into those decisions that ultimately where you are now as point A to get to point B, and what does point B look like is different to everyone, and it's just the journey to getting there.
That's
right. What to focus on. The big thing for us is the affordability thing, and it's different for everyone, but they need to make sure that they're stress testing, that interest rates can go higher for longer as well. So we do that work with clients and just making sure that they've got that comfort level there, that they're not getting themselves into a huge loan and not having that serviceability there with making sure that they've got the ability to service it, because ultimately if you have to sell the house, it's not a great wealth creation strategy having to sell something that you've just purchased in a really short time frame. The budgeting part of it is a big one as well. So we can work with our clients. We offer that service to do that budgeting step with them and walk them through the process as to what are your non-discretionary expenditures, but also your discretionary. And from there, that's a really good starting point. Some people haven't done that budgeting, that level of budgeting before. And it can be quite eye-opening for them.
It's hard to find the time to sit down and really get into the nitty-gritty of it. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to make any difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and it actually empowers the client to actually know and give them peace of mind where their money is going and what they're spending it on. Because, as you said, it can be something that is just swept under the carpet a little bit and they don't know where the money is going, so...
Yeah.
It is an important step. With the stress testing, basically we just pick a 2% figure over and above what the current is and say, hey, in a market where we've just gone up 4%, can you still afford that loan?
Okay, so then moving forward, so the steps then would be for the potential home renovator. So then they would get a cost estimate on their proposed project, and then they would go to a mortgage broker to find out about how much finance they could get. And so then they're given this big number, and they also know the number that they need to achieve in their construction cost budget. So what is the steps from there in going to a financial advisor? So you do the stress testing, and then what else happens there to help them resolve what that number should be?
So we just look at the cash flow planning and making sure that they've got comfort in what they're loan is going to look like from a repayments perspective, and just making sure that they've got some clarity as to what that is so that they're not getting themselves into any sort of cash flow stress later on. So just making sure that it's more than affordable for them, and ultimately for cash flow management, you're just wanting to ensure that the cash is there at always and that the expenses are under control. So we do a fair bit of work about on that so that the client understands where they're at all times.
So when we're talking about finance here, we're looking at people with all different budgets. So there will be your first home buyers, they're just trying to get into a house, they're trying to afford something, whatever, and they're really just going to push themselves to the limit that they can, really, aren't they? Because what else are they going to do? And then there's right through to the other end of the spectrum where people are looking at a house as an investment.
Some people see their house as an investment
and
others don't. So there's two schools of thought there. The people who don't see it as an investment, they see it as an asset that's non-income producing that they just have to live somewhere. Then you've got the people who are not scared about overcapitalising because they see it as tax-free growth for later because you pay no capital gains tax on your personal place of residence when you ultimately sell it. So, the people that are wanting to have their personal place of residence as a wealth creation strategy, and they're the people who are not going to be scared to overcapitalise, and they're able to realise those property gains later in life because they're able to then downsize that house and then use the proceeds of that, which are capital gains tax free, to another investment or boosting their retirement, whatever that might look like.
What you're referring to there is sometimes the cost of the construction will push it into slight overcapitalisation, not much, but maybe 5 or 10% or something, but the value of the land will increase over time. And that's what you're talking about there,
absolutely,
isn't it? That, yeah, it's a, in the long term, it is a very much more valuable asset. It's just that you can't be turning around an asset like that, selling that house in the short term,
because
otherwise you will realise those losses.
That's right.
Can you tell us how you work with clients to help them with property finance decisions and securing those investments over the long term?
Yeah, on the back of having that debt conversation and having done the cash flow management, they've got their loan, they're comfortable with what that size loan is.
Yeah.
So we do a fair bit of work with regards to risk management and making sure that the clients have, once they've purchased that big asset, that home, that they're protecting that lifestyle for not only themselves but also their families. So we go into a fair bit of work with regards to getting the right level of cover for personal insurances. The big one is income protection, so that in the event they were sick or ill, that they're able to continue paying off that mortgage, and their lifestyle for their family doesn't get impacted. And then if you get anything more severe than that, so in the total and permanent disability side of things, and not death being the least likely event, that the lifestyle of the family doesn't get impacted on the back of an illness or a sickness.
And it is so important, isn't it? Because suddenly these are not things that you're looking forward at, particularly if you're a first-time buyer or a younger purchaser. They're just not things you're looking at. And suddenly your whole world's turned upside down and you're out of your house. Yeah, so thinking about those things is really important. If people were considering getting some assistance or advice from a financial advisor like yourself, how would they proceed with that?
Yeah, we have our initial meeting with our clients is a discovery meeting. And mm-hmm. so that's about us learning about their goals and their objectives and what they're wanting to do. And from there, we would then go away and get the scope of that advice and give them an engagement letter to outline what the scope of the advice is going to look like, what areas of advice we'd give, and what the costs are. So typically that it changes for every client, so it's not the same, depending on the scope of the advice.
Everyone's got different needs.
That's right. Mm.
So for anyone who hasn't been to a financial advisor before, just some general information, how do financial advisors generally charge?
We will charge a statement of advice fee, which is the legal document that outlines the advice in detail. So typically we charge that upfront. That's an upfront fee. And then from there, if there's any other implementation costs there, that'll be outlined in that document as to what those would be. And then if there's an ongoing service agreement, so if there's any ongoing service of managing portfolios and ongoing advice for people, that's where we charge. Typically, a lot of advisors in the industry, they'll charge a fixed fee for the 12 months.
Wow, so much good advice. To conclude today, here is some final advice from Tim Ward that he didn't cover in the interview. And these are steps to help you work out the right amount to borrow. So the best process is to reverse engineer what you can afford. And these steps will ensure that you can live within your means and do not unknowingly force yourself into undue financial pressure. So step number one, most importantly, don't use the maximum borrowing capacity afforded to you by the bank. Step number two, create a budget with all your non-discretionary and discretionary items. So non-discretionary are things that you have to pay for, like rates and utilities and phones and insurances, whereas discretionary items are things that you choose to pay for, like entertainment and other things for quality of life and lifestyle. Step number three, see how much is left over for paying off your home loan. And finally, step four, stress test your affordability of the loan. And this means if interest rates increase by, say, 2 to 3% from current values, can you still afford them? And so finally, how much is too much to borrow? In Australia, the typical cost of housing as a percentage of gross income has been around 25 to 30%. How much is too much? The answer is definitely not one size fits all, unfortunately. As a general guide, if your home loan repayments are higher than 30% of your gross income, you're more likely to struggle with financial stress. If you're on a higher income, you may be able to go over this, but Tim advised that 30% is a good general benchmark. And that's all from me.
Wow, you've given us all a lot to think about. Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative, thank you for joining us on 1015fm.com.au and keeping our community informed and connected.